kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hi, God bless you. Thank you for being with us as we have journeyed through the School of Grace. And this is now week 12, which is actually the concluding teaching. By week 13, we are going to be doing a comprehensive review of the School of Grace. But I trust that this has been a blessing to you. And I would like to encourage you to find a way to review these materials. There are certain things that we do not fully get them as the Lord intended, simply because we heard them once. But when we engage the word over and over, remember the Jonathan principle. If I tasted a little, and this was the effect, what would happen if I feasted on what I've been tasting? So God invites us to feast on what we are tasting. The problem of the Christian life, the challenge of the Christian life, arises because most of us believers, we are simply tasting. We are simply tasting. The plan of God is that we will taste and see that the Lord is good. And then we will now begin to feast on the one that we have tasted. And it is in feasting that we are abundantly satisfied with the goodness and the fatness of God's house and of his promises. So thank God for the School of Grace. Glory be to his matchless name. And so, Heavenly Father, we give you all of the praise and all of the glory for your help so far as we have participated in the School of Grace. Thank you for promoting us and bringing us to new levels of experience and encounter with you. We ask that, Lord, this will not stop, but you will continue to take us from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Lord, as we engage the means of grace, sourcing more grace, bringing transformation to our lives and impact for our service, in the name of Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, give us utterance as we continue to look into the perfect law of liberty. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May God bless you. So we are still looking at grace for effective ministry. And we establish that we need grace to serve God. This is found in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 28 and 29. Hebrews 12, 28-29. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So we are being encouraged to source grace, to receive grace through which we can serve God acceptably. So we need grace if we are going to serve the Lord acceptably. Without the grace of God, there really is nothing we can do that can be accepted in God's sight. And we engage the ministry. We receive the entire ministry of serving God by grace. It is grace, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, the Amplified Translation says, therefore, since we do hold and engage in this ministry by the mercy of God, granting us favor, benefits, and opportunities, and especially salvation, we do not get discouraged or become faint with weariness and exhaustion. So it's because of grace that we have this ministry. There is nobody who is called into ministry because of merit. It's all by grace. And all of us, as we serve the Lord, we must continually to acknowledge grace, just like the Apostle Paul did when he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. So it is all by grace, meaning that God can raise anybody and he can use anybody. So we now continue to see that the minister is saved by grace. The plan of God is that the same grace by which we are saved will be the same grace by which we minister, and the same grace that we minister to other people. You see, it is what we have received that we can give. It is what we have received, the truth that we have received, the forgiveness, even the material financial resources that we have received from God that we can give to other people. So the minister is saved by grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9, we are told very clearly that it is by grace that you have been saved. This is not our own doing. It is the gift of God, so nobody can boast. So just like we cannot boast about salvation, we really cannot boast about ministry, because it is the same grace that has saved us, that has called us to serve God and to extend grace to other people. Then the minister is kept by grace. You can see that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. We are kept by grace. We are kept by the power of God unto salvation that is ready to be revealed in this last time. Number 3, the minister is called by grace. In Romans chapter 1, verse 5, the apostle said, it is by the grace of God that we have received grace and apostleship to bring about obedience to the faith among all nations. So we are also empowered and made competent by grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, the Apostle Paul made it very clear that it is not that we are sufficient of ourselves to claim anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter that kills, but of the Spirit that gives life. So it is the grace of God that makes us able ministers and empowers us and makes us competent to bring life to other people. Now we receive revelation of the Word of God by grace. There is a scripture that has been a tremendous blessing to me in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 10. This was Jacob just praying and telling the Lord how dependent he was on the grace of God. In Genesis 32 and verse 10, this is Jacob speaking. He says, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown to your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. If you know the story of Jacob, you know that this is the story of grace. Number one was that he was not him that was supposed to receive the blessing, but somehow God said, the older will serve the younger. He said, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. So you see, it was all by grace. And Jacob in this scripture is saying to God, I am not worthy of the least of the mercies that I've experienced from you, as well as all the truth, all the faithfulness, and all the insights about your person and your power that you have revealed to me. Who is qualified to receive truth from God? Who has merited revelation? It's impossible. So we receive the revelation. Don't forget that the Word of God is the primary instrument by which we serve and minister as servants of God. And even that word, the revelation of that word, comes to us by grace. The servant of God achieves and accomplishes by grace. In Zechariah chapter 4, from verses 6 to 7, Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, we are told that Zechariah will be able to complete the massive project of rebuilding the temple but it will not be by power nor by might, but by the Spirit of God. So in Zechariah chapter 4, you read, it says, not by power. Look at verse 6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 7, he said, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. Great mountain will become a plain before Zerubbabel. And he will bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace, grace to it. And then he says in verse 9, he said, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. He said, look, who are you, great mountain? In front of Zerubbabel, you are going to be flattened out. You will become a plain. And he's going to bring the capstone. That is the final piece that you place on the building to show that it is completely finished. He's going to bring that capstone. And as he's dropping the capstone on this temple project, Zerubbabel will be shouting, grace, grace. It was grace. The Living Bible says he will be saying it was all by grace alone. It was grace. Look at the opposition that they faced. I mean, these were poor, impoverished people that just returned from exile after 70 years in Babylon. Now they are rebuilding temple with all the gold, with all the things. They faced oppositions. So when this temple was concluded, it was clear to them that this was grace. Grace, grace, grace. Grace brought us back from captivity. Grace gave us favor to rebuild this temple. Grace provided all that we needed. Grace, grace, grace. The genuine servant of God does not exalt himself. He exalts grace. She does not promote her own ability. Say, well, you know, I'm an anointed woman of God, and you know, God has just, you know, given me power, and I can sing, and I can minister, I can counsel people, I can minister to families and bring healing. You do not exalt yourself, you exalt grace. Even as the project is being completed, that church building is being completed, as that book is, you know, published, as, you know, all of those wonderful things are happening in ministry, people are getting healed and set free and delivered. The genuine minister is acknowledging grace, grace, grace. And we are going to be seeing the results of a grace-filled ministry, because once we acknowledge grace, then grace can be multiplied towards us, and we are going to see even greater accomplishments. Don't forget that Zerubbabel said, or the word of God said to him, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And of course, the impartation of the Holy Spirit is grace, not merit. Amen. Now, Brother Paul, the servant of God, said, but I labored more than all of the other apostles. God used me to accomplish far greater things and take the gospel farther and further than any of them ever went. But it was not I, it was the grace of God that was at work in me. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So the minister accomplishes and achieves by grace. That is why it is very futile and dangerous, I must say, to be competing with somebody who has found grace. If you compete with a servant of God who is enjoying grace, you will be trying to do by your own power and might what the grace of God is executing in the life of such a servant of God. And that will be very, very frustrating. You don't want to do that. So the minister is also sustained and upheld by grace. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1, it says, behold my servant whom I uphold. This is my servant, and I'm the one that is upholding him. So when the enemy attacks and people complain and people rise up and people criticize, and these are things that are, you know, inescapable in ministry, the minister is sustained and upheld by the grace of God. Everything is working to pull him down. Even some associates are working. Some unfaithful, false brethren are working against him. But you cannot pull down what God is upholding. You cannot bring down a person that is upheld and sustained by the grace of God. The minister is also protected, preserved through trials and persecutions and danger by grace. When God was calling the apostle Paul, he told him, he said, I will deliver you from the people to whom I send you, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. God said, I will deliver you from them. That's why all the attacks against that apostle, they could not prosper. They could not quench him until his work was accomplished. And in the book of 2 Corinthians, he was talking of these trials and difficulties that they faced. They were pressed beyond measure. I mean, the reason was not so that he was going to die. It was so that he would not depend on himself, but on God that raises the dead. So the minister is also supplied and provided for by grace. The resources we need, the finances, the people, human resources, the opportunities, the provisions, the food we are going to eat, the things we wear. I mean, I can testify to the grace of God. God has, you know, since I left active medical practice, this is like 17, 18 years ago, that I do not run a hospital. Praise God for great doctors in hospital practice. In one of our studies, I'm going to show you that, you know, your profession is also your platform for service. So, I mean, whether you are in the marketplace as a doctor or as a lawyer, you know, as a builder, an estate developer, or, you know, as a teacher in the university, educationist, or an administrator, a government official, or a military person, you know, you are serving the Lord, and it's important that you realize that. But a point came when I had to leave active medical practice. I was traveling a lot, and it was clear to me it was time to move on. And the question is, how will my needs be met? The Lord said, I will pay the bills for what I have commanded. I will provide for you. And I want to testify that God has been faithful. God has been faithful. I have not lacked. So the minister is supplied by grace. The car that I'm going to drive, having left active medical practice, is not going to come from medical practice. God is going to provide transportation for the work to which he has called me. Where am I going to live? God will provide accommodation. What about my children? What about their school fees? God will provide. And indeed, all of us are servants of God, whether you are in what people call full-time ministry or part-time ministry. By the way, I tell people, a part-time Christian is a full-time sinner. Jesus purchased all of us. So when I talk about grace for effective ministry, I'm talking about the grace that every believer must receive to execute their ministry, because every believer is a minister of the gospel and a servant of Jesus Christ. So we are supplied by grace. And look at Elijah, for instance. Ravens were bringing him food to eat so that he could continue his prophetic ministry. Amen. And this now brings me to the results of grace-filled ministry. When the grace of God is multiplied in our service for the kingdom of God, there are consequences, mighty consequences of such ministry. And they are enduring. When grace ministers through a person, the results are enduring. So when grace is at work, we see a ministry that is humble. The servant of God does ministry with fear and trembling. He's not exalting himself or claiming things for himself or arrogating him to himself, you know, big titles and big names. You know, when I hear some people calling themselves by some of these big names and big titles, I'm wondering, I say, why are you calling yourself these big names? Why don't you acknowledge grace? Why don't you keep your nomenclature simple, but Christ great and magnified? When grace operates in us and we are subject to grace, we are slow to exalt ourselves. We don't boast about ourselves, about our names. we boast about Christ and what he has done. So humble ministry. Brother Paul says, told the Corinthians, he said, I was with you in weakness, in trembling and fear, but my speech and my preaching were not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstrations of the power of God. You can see humility. Secondly, we see compassionate ministry. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, talks about, you know, extending mercy and grace to other people, because we ourselves, we are products of mercy and grace. We are compassionate to people because we realize that without grace, we ourselves are not different from other people. Only grace has helped us and has brought us thus far in our service for the Lord. Number three, we are contented in ministry. We are not, you know, struggling and comparing ourselves with other people with a competitive spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, we are told that when people compare themselves with other people, they are not wise. So when grace is operating, I realize that this is how far the grace of God has helped me. I'm not comparing myself with a big man of God somewhere or with some ministry. I'm not trying to become the biggest church, you know, calling myself. But, you know, I hear some people, they say our church is the fastest growing church in town. What do you mean by this talk? Why do you have to say that? You know, we are the biggest ministry in Nigeria or in Africa or somewhere in America. Why? Who is asking you all these questions? Eh? When you say you are the fastest growing, by which register? Is it the register you keep here in on planet Earth or the one they keep in heaven? So when grace is at work, we don't exalt ourselves. We are not competing with anybody. I'm not trying to build a school because somebody built a school. Because imagine that it was grace that told the person to build that university. And grace is supplying, supporting, and upholding the university. And then you, because you are competitive, you want to compete with the person without knowing the source of what you are competing with. You now start saying, look, that church, they have their university. We must also have our own, or they have their own secondary school. We must also have our own secondary school. Then it will be a burden. It will become a load that you have to carry by yourself, because it was not commanded by God. You see, when God will pay for his own projects, but when we begin from a competitive spirit and start projects, then we have to foot the bill ourselves, and the burden can be very terrible. So, contented ministry. Be content with how far grace has helped you, and trust God to give the increase as you continue to serve him faithfully. Number four, we see manifestations, mighty, mighty, astounding manifestations of the power of God and the works of God, the inexplicable works of God when grace is in operation. We see demonstrations of God's power. This power manifests in miracles. It manifests in answered prayer because it's the grace of God at work. Bible says great grace rested on the apostles, and so with great power they gave testimony to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Acts of the Apostles, we are told that special miracles, the Lord did special miracles through Brother Paul, through Brother Peter. Can you imagine the shadow of a servant of God healing the sick? Handkerchiefs that we are taking, aprons that are touched Brother Paul, we are brought to the sick. And those things, we are casting out demons, healing the sick. These are manifestations of great grace. You see, when the grace of God is on you, you will pray, God will answer. God said to the friends of Job, go to Job. Job will pray for you. I will accept him. So there are people, because they have found grace in God's sight, they pray a simple prayer. Because they are accepted by God, God also accepts their prayer. That's why we must make sure that we continue to stand in grace, where the favor of God rests upon us. So there are manifestations of God's power when grace is at work in the life of a minister. And the more grace we find, the greater the manifestations of God's power in and through our lives. The person that finds grace will never be stranded. Help will arise for such a person, no matter the circumstance. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Divine resources are multiplied to the person that finds grace. We see growth and increase. When you read Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, and chapter 5, you see God increasing his church because of his grace that rested on the servants of God. And, you know, I'm sure you remember the story of Gamaliel, when Gamaliel gave counsel even to the Jewish leaders and said, look, these people that you are trying to quench, you can't quench them. If this thing is of God, you cannot stop it. You are going to find yourself fighting against God. And so when grace is in operation, you have this unstoppable ministry, unstoppable, something that God is pushing forward. Who can block it? You don't want to stand in the way, because you will find yourself, you know, fighting against God, you know, and the devil is continually frustrated. Every satanic expectation is disappointed in a life that continues to find grace in God's presence. I like Acts chapter 12, verse 11. It tells the story of what happened, how God delivered Peter from the expectations of Herod and of the Jews. That's what happens when we find grace. And don't forget that they prayed and prayed. They were engaging the sources of grace, and grace was manifested. And that grace, oh, parianata, the grace of God will disappoint every satanic expectation in your life in the name of Jesus. Where the enemy expects you to collapse, you will soar. You will rise up with wings as eagles. You will mount up in Jesus' name. The grace of God will move you over every satanic obstacle and hindrance. That's what happens when grace is in manifestation. And then grace also enables us to do groundbreaking frontier ministry. Grace breaks through on the front lines. You can read more about this in Romans 15, verses 20 to 23, as well as 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. So these are some of the results of grace-filled ministry. So in conclusion, how do we receive grace for ministry? And I'm going to give a summary answer, because we have dealt with this already. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 9. It says, moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. Even the king is served from the field. This passage of scripture tells us that the profit of the earth is for all. And even the king himself is served by the field. So you see, just like the commoner is served by the field, even the king, the food the king is going to eat, is going to come from the field. The milk he's going to drink is going to come from the field, of course, from the cows and things in the field. So even the king is served by the field. The point I'm making here is that even the minister has to receive grace like every believer. Just that the minister must receive grace at a much higher level than others. The reason is because he is giving out to other people, not just collecting for himself. So the profit of the earth, the possibilities of grace are available to all, but it is only those that go to the field that will find this profit and gather grace. So since the minister is called to serve others, he must find grace, not just for his own walk with God, but for ministering to other people. So, and just like the master, who has this abundance of grace out of which we draw, the minister must also have an abundance of grace out of which other people can draw. Praise the Lord. So where do we get grace? We get grace, both the simple believer and all of us as ministers, and the great apostle, the big man of God, all of us, we get grace from the sources of grace. So I want to point you back to the 10 sources of grace that we have studied. Please revert back to those messages, go over them, engage those sources of grace. The more you give attention to those sources of grace, the deeper and stronger the quantity of multidimensional grace that you will find for life and ministry. So you see the apostles, for instance, they refused to be diverted to serving tables, but they gave themselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word of God. We read that in Acts of the Apostles chapter 6, when they spoke to the people. So you see, their engagement of the sources of grace produced the great grace that enabled them to minister with great power. That statement bears repeating. They engaged the sources of grace, and thereby they found an abundance of grace and great grace, which released great power in their ministry. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, write this principle on the table of our heart, that, Lord, we might engage. Listen, servant of God, woman of God, dear brother, the more you engage the sources of grace, the more you will find an abundance of grace leading to great grace that will release great power in your life and through your ministry. This is how the thing works. Let me tell you a simple secret I found. You see all these people that we call great men of God. Let me tell you the secret. Listen to this. And if you talk with any of them, they will confirm what I'm telling you. Do you know the big difference? The big difference is where the ordinary believer is coming with a cup, they bring a tanker. It is the same thing, the same grace, the same Bible, the same Holy Spirit, but they engage the same resources at a much higher, deeper, stronger, sustained level. And because they are engaging at a higher, deeper, level, they collect more, they receive more. And it is out of this abundance that they receive that other people now come to collect. You say, man of God, pray for me. Man of God, bless me. Where the blessing the man of God is going to impart on this person, where did he collect it from? Because the man of God is not a source of blessings himself. He himself went to the source and lambanoed. He took, he received grace. And in receiving grace, he collected an abundance. I'm showing you the secret. You see, many of the big men of God, they will not tell you how these things work. I am showing you from scripture how the thing works. The more you lambano, the more others can lambano through you. The more you fellowship with the Spirit and you walk in the Spirit, you stay in the presence of God, you engage the sources of grace, the more grace you will collect. And as you download more and more and more and more grace, other people will find grace through your life. That is how ministry works. This is the summary of effective ministry. If you find somebody who is not collecting grace and is just, just doing something, he's not ministry. He's just making merchandise of the gospel. He's an actor. Genuine ministry is the transmission of pre-received grace. Whoa, hallelujah. Genuine ministry is when the grace that we have received flows through us to other people, bringing salvation, bringing deliverance, bringing blessing, bringing direction, bringing, insight and nourishment in the word of God. Glory to the name of Jesus Christ. So this is why every minister does not operate at the same level of grace. You know why? Because they do not seek grace to the same degree. So imagine that somebody keeps coming to the throne of grace. He will collect more grace than the person who comes occasionally and the person who comes only in desperation, when there is trouble. The person who is a resident at the throne of grace will source and download and collect more grace than those that are occasional visitors. Blessed be the name of Jesus. So in addition to all of these principles, we must also renounce every craftiness, every hidden thing of shame. You see, there are things that bring disgrace. If we are going to find more grace in ministry, we must renounce those things. I'll give you a few examples. Secret sin. A servant of God who is living in immorality with church members or with people in the discipleship group, or, deceiving people to collect money from people. You should go beyond this, because your heavenly Father can take care of you. Why do you need to do that? For what God can give to you free of charge. I don't need to deceive anybody. You know, that's why you notice in all of these things, I'm not harassing you about money. I'm just teaching the word of God. If God leads you to give to me, praise the Lord. If God leads you to give to other servants of God, praise the Lord. You don't need to harass people for money for them to, you know, support you or to give to you or use gimmicks to collect offering from people and, you know, tell lying revelations and false testimonies. A genuine servant of God who wants grace must renounce all of these things of disgrace. So the grace of God will help us. Then we must abide in the vine. You see, as long as we are connected, then there can be a flow. But Jesus was very clear. He said, if you don't abide in me, you are cast out as a branch. You are going to wither. And I'm sorry to say, there are a lot of withered people doing ministry. And that thing is not ministry. It's just damaging the church of God and wounding more people. And then as servants of God, we must walk worthy of the calling that we have received. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. You see, it's impossible to fulfill a high call with a low life. It's impossible. So let our lives, you know, give credence and support to the ministry to which God has called us. And then the other thing is, our communion with God must not be broken. We cannot use administration as a reason, you know, to forfeit, you know, spending time in God's presence and with the word of God and with the sources of grace. So there are things we cannot delegate. Just like the apostles, they refused to delegate prayer. You see, this idea of setting people to pray while the man of God is somewhere doing something, you know, it's not correct. We must seek God and we must continue, you know, prioritizing our fellowship and communion with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we draw this to a close, I have some assignments I want to give to you. You see, we've been together in the school of grace, and the Bible says that we must be doers of the word, not just hearers only. So I want to share something. You know, of course, I am not, you know, compelling you, but I want to encourage you to do this assignment, and I call it My Grace Project, Your Personal Grace Project. And the first one, number one is, take deliberate action to lambano grace, to receive grace. Take a deliberate action. And, you know, I'm leaving the initiative to you to take. Decide what you want to do. But look at all the sources of grace and take a deliberate action to lambano. Remember that word, to receive, to collect, to take grace. It might be prayer and fasting for 1 week, for 2 days, for 1 day. It may be studying a book in the Bible. It may be, you know, visiting an orphanage and blessing the people. It may be, you know, blessing a man of God with a certain amount of money or serving, going somewhere to serve. I mean, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, one of those sources of grace, take a deliberate action to lambano grace. Then number two, take a deliberate action to transmit grace, to give grace, to impart grace to somebody else. Something that can be, do an act of grace. Preach the gospel to other, somebody else, lead somebody to Christ, forgive somebody who has hurt you, seek reconciliation in areas of pain and you know, injury and hurt, release the past. Just take an action that will bring grace to other people. And then number three assignment is, share this school of grace with other people. Teach it. You can teach it. You can run your own personal school of grace. And I want to say that I am available to support you if you meet, if you have some questions. This is not hit and run that I'm doing with you. We are available. I and the entire team at Eternity Ministries, we are available to support you if you need resources, if you need materials, whatever ways we can encourage you, we'll be happy to do that. So those are the three assignments. Don't forget, number one, a deliberate action to lambano, to take and collect, receive grace. Number two, a deliberate action to transmit grace, to give grace to other persons. And then number three, to teach these truths that God has brought, to share the school of grace. Set up a small group and start teaching them a Bible study. It can even be virtual. online, you know, through WhatsApp or Zoom. You can set up, you and your friends begin to study the School of Grace, go over the materials, you can listen to the messages, discuss them, and pray. You will be surprised the impact. Let's start a grace revolution with these truths that God has brought. And we are available with the team here to support you and to encourage you in Jesus' name. So thank you for being part of the School of Grace. Next week, by the grace of God, we are going to have a concluding session, a live session, where we are going to conclude the School of Grace. And please plan to partake and to invite other people. And the Zoom link, the link for that will be posted as usual. You're welcome to participate in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the things that you have taught us. Now, Lord, we choose to be doers of the word of God, not just hearers, deceiving our own selves. We ask that, Lord, you will grant wings to these truths. Oh, Father, begin a grace revolution in your church. Lord, through every participant in this School of Grace, that, Lord, we will bring grace to a needy world. We will bring grace, Father, to many that sit in this grace. That, Lord, the light of grace, the power of grace, Lord, will be known in the nations through us and through our service for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that the Spirit of grace will rest on every one of us. And that, Lord, we will be men and women of great grace with great power manifesting in our life and service for your kingdom. Lord, I pray over the projects born of your Spirit, every effort initiated by the Spirit of God. Lord, I ask for grace to rest on those projects and to bring them to pass in Jesus' name. Lord, I decree that this servant of God will never be stranded in life by virtue of the grace of God pouring upon their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, to you alone, we give all the praise, all the glory, not unto us, O God, not unto us, O God, but unto your name alone be the praise and the glory for your mercy and for your truth's sake. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. This is your brother Ferdinand thanking you for participating in the School of Grace. Don't forget the assignments. And please reach me with any questions or any ways that we can continue to be an encouragement with you. And continue to stay in the group, because I will be announcing the next subject we will be studying. And I guarantee you it is life-changing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and bless your family and bless your service for the kingdom of God. Amen. Bye-bye.
Heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea.